Jerry Bader, show 1035. I think this is a microcosm of the Trump campaign. He gets booed. He gets booed at the debate, and he blames it on the fact that, well, you know, that's because they control the tickets and who could come in, and it's just big donors.
The RNC told us we have all donors in the audience, and the reason they're not loving me, the reason they're not loving me is I don't want their money. I'm going to do the right thing for the American public. I don't want their money. I don't need their money. And I'm the only one up here that can say that. Eminent domain.
Okay. Wow. It's always a stacked deck against that poor little rich guy, isn't it? He is the biggest victim in the world. He is just, that guy can't get a fair shake to save his Armani skin. He just can't. Now, the conventional wisdom is Marco Rubio did very, very poorly. From what I heard, and I did not see the debate, I'm inclined to believe that apparently he just kept repeating the same criticism of President Obama over and over and over. Chris Christie calls him out on it, and he does it again. And that he didn't have good answers when the governors ganged up on him. Nate Silver over at 538, the website, says New Hampshire voters might see it differently. But yeah, it wasn't a great debate performance, and it's seen as being potentially very damaging to Rubio, because it's their last impression, New Hampshire voters, their last impression before tomorrow night. And how will it affect the primary? A lot of people think that this will kill, when I say people, a lot of pundits believe this will kill the Rubio surge that he got after Iowa. Silver writes, but a lot of caution is in order. Pundits haven't misgauged the impact of a debate since, well, only about a week ago, when the smart take was that Trump had won the final Iowa debate by not having shown up for it, and that Ted Cruz had a poor evening. Instead, Cruz wins Iowa a few days later, Trump in second with a vote share well below where the polls had projected him. He goes on, as I wrote after the previous debate, political reporters are in the fog of war phase of the campaign, where our reactions aren't necessarily good matches for those of voters at home. Some of the reason we reporters thought Rubio's answer was so awful is because it confirmed some of our gossip about Rubio, namely that he tends to give pat, repetitive answers. But we tend to be more sensitive about that stuff because we, as reporters, he writes, watch every debate from start to finish. And then we see lots of the candidates' stump speeches and town halls on top of it. There's a fine line between a candidate who seems stilted and repetitive and one who seems on message instead. Is there any evidence that home viewers saw Rubio's performance differently? Well, maybe. On Google Trends, there was a huge spike in searches for Rubio during the debate, but it came not during his glitchy moments, but instead after an effective answer he delivered on abortion about 2 hours into the debate. Meanwhile, a Google consumer survey poll conducted midway through the debate found respondents thought that Trump, Rubio, and Cruz, in that order, were winning the debate. Undoubtedly, this mostly just reflects the fact that Trump, Rubio, and Cruz are the most popular Republican candidates to begin with, but it's also a reminder that one bad answer or one bad evening may not weigh all that much on voters' minds. The other good news for Rubio is that most all of this will be forgotten if he performs well in Tuesday's primary. Nonetheless, even a little bit of slippage for Rubio could produce a big difference in the result. Not only Christie, but also Bush and Kasich had strong evenings, in our view, he writes. And those are the very candidates Rubio would like to have out of the Republican race. I can't comment beyond that because I didn't see it. Wall Street Journal has an editorial that posted last night called Marco Gets Poloed. And they think it was a rough night, and they think that it might actually impact his standings and his ability to do well, and well, I guess, would be at least a second-place finish in New Hampshire. Again, didn't see the debate. All I've seen and heard are snippets of the debate. So that's just my take. I find the Trump turning on the audience very, very different. Somebody wants to debate about eminent domain, about my take on eminent domain. We're not doing that. We're not doing that because, one, it's not the topic that we're on. And two, I've just have, all right, I'll tell you what. You've got him in the queue. Give about 30 seconds here. Stephen, go ahead.
Jerry, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if you're going to start a business, you're going to create jobs, and you're going to absolutely be a positive influence in the local economies, there's absolutely no reason that one person should be able to hold out and not be able to support or stop the support of an entire economic engine of a local community.
Okay, that is the classic debate. Yeah, that's the classic debate that if everyone else sells out, one shouldn't sell out. But is there, or shouldn't be able to hold out, I should say. But is not one of the most fundamental conservative core values is property owners' rights?
Property owners' rights, absolutely. But at the same time, if I own a house, which I'm a homeowner here in Green Bay, and the bottom line is, if I own a home and I-43 wants to come through, which will benefit the entire economy of Green Bay, then,
it's a public project. Public. You just listed a public project.
Okay, now let's take it one step further. I want to personally build a marina and a shipbuilding or a private enterprise to build basically yachts in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take eminent domain to do that simply because of waterfront property.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not looking at property that is held by large corporations. We're looking at, you know, properties that are available on the Fox River. We're looking at a local environment here, and the bottom line is certain institutions or businesses or homes have to kind of look at.
No, they don't. They're not available if they're not for sale. Now, you said one. What if six people want to hold out of 40?
If you had 40 people and six people wanted to hold out, That's kind of a separate issue, but if you
no,
have
it isn't.
One holdout,
no, it just doesn't fit your little one. What if it's six out of 40? Do they have rights or not?
They have, yes, but you have to look at from an economic standpoint.
No, then you're saying they don't have rights. Then you're
saying paying jobs to this economy, and 500 more. In the local
so the economic benefit trumps their property rights. What if it's 30 of the 40? Yeah, see, this is a little more complex issue than Steve had in mind. Glad you put him on. All right, now I have to try to tuck in several things here before the end of the hour. We'll start that in 3 minutes.
The Jerry Bader Show.